Oh, man, can I invite Diane to come and join me here? Diane is one of the members here at Holland Road, and she is also working with the Diocese of Chichester, which is the Anglican Diocese, helping the whole, across as a big region, the church, the Anglican Church, think about how they can engage more in some of the needy parts of our cities and region. But Diane is also has been for many years a Baptist minister, so she's kind of left being a Baptist minister to do that. Well, not really kind of left being a Baptist minister, because she's still very much got that heartbeat. But we just want to say it's such a privilege and honour to have you share with us tonight,
it's
Diane, and over to you as you open up God's word for us.
Thank you. It is very good to be here. Oh, I'm quite loud, aren't I? Many people have said so. I'm going to read to you from Scripture. A psalm that we know really well. It's Psalm 23. You're more than welcome to follow it through with me, but I am probably reading in a different version, so I am so sorry. I just realized I should be using the church's. But I think you probably, many of you will know this. So even if you don't have a Bible with you, just take a breath and allow the words to remind you and to speak over you. So this is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Now, some of you may know slightly different words to that, mightn't you? I wonder when the last time you heard that psalm being read. Dare I say, it may well have been at a funeral. Yep. We had it at our wedding, I just remember that. But we had Din Welsh, so I didn't really understand what was going on. It is a real privilege to be here today. I'm very excited. I'm particularly excited that this is the first time in my life that I've been able to preach having three P's in this sermon. I'd never done that before. It was completely a fluke. But out of this psalm, there is so much in these four of just few verses that I could preach forever. And please, I am not going to, so don't worry about it. But there is so much that God has packed into his word. So my biggest thing I'd say to you is take this psalm with you this week. Chew on it. Mull it over. Remember it as you walk to work, to school. Remember it as you go into, just one verse as you go into the shops this week. Just allow this psalm to speak to you. My three P's. It's a personal psalm. It's a psalm which is deeply prophetic, and it's a psalm which says, come and join me. It's a participatory psalm. It draws us in. Now, before I start, has anybody ever been to the hills above Bethlehem? Have anybody been to Israel? Few of you have. Oh, I thought you may have done one or two. You've been to Bethlehem, so you know what it's like. Brilliant. So I want you to imagine the hills above Bethlehem. For the rest of us, just allow your imaginations to drift a bit to a hill somewhere. It's got to be miles from anywhere. It can't be the South Downs where you can look over the top and see Brighton. It's got to be somewhere which is a bit desolate. Now, I know that nowadays there's around Bethlehem, there are lots of settlements and so on, but we won't go into that. But I want you to imagine a place which is quite desolate. And in that place, you will see, I want you to imagine from it, you can shut your eyes if you like, you don't have to look, but if you find that easy. I want you to imagine sheep, not the sort of sheep you see up on the South Downs, not the big fat ones with, you know, lots of wool. I'm clearly very technical. These would be scraggy looking sheep, a little bit like a cross between long-legged sheep and goats. Okay, weird, I know, but that's what it would have been like, quite long ears, not a lot of fat on them, to be honest. Not as woolly as we would expect sheep to be. So you're there, you in the hills, can you see the sheep? Now, I bet you've got those sheep scattered all over the place, haven't you, in your imagination? Well, I want you to gather the sheep into one place for a minute. Just there. Because on those hills as well, if you look carefully, there are other things. There are bears and there are lions. There are wild dogs, and there's danger. Now, they're not all in one place, but they're there. And actually, as the night begins to fall, you can hear the wild dogs calling to each other. If it gets cold, it's a dangerous, empty space. And into that walks David. David, a young man, pretty scrawny, to be honest. A load of scrawny sheep and not a great-looking young man. I don't know, he would have been early teens, perhaps. Forget child protection. He was right out there. And we don't know when David wrote this psalm, but we do know that David knew all about sheep because he was the youngest of his brothers. And he had been sent out to look after the sheep in the hills around Bethlehem. And this was not a putting out the rubbish job. This was a serious, hard work. And it was dangerous. It was really dangerous. I really tell you, child protection laws were not great then. I love the fact that the great King David was this scrawny young lad who had been completely overlooked and been sent out to do a job which was normally the role of the outcasts, the poor people of the towns. This was not a great honor to go out and to look after the sheep. But out there on the hills, David learned how to do that. He learned how to care for the sheep. He learned how to take a slingshot, stones, and to fire them towards the wild animals. He learned how to find good pasture for his sheep. He learned how to use a staff, a rod, to protect his sheep. And he used that staff to gather his sheep in. He learned from others, because there would be other shepherds, but there would also have been a lot of time on his own. This was the reality of the everyday life of a shepherd. And it was hard and it was tough. That's the personal. Hard and tough in the reality of the everyday. I wonder how your everyday feels. Caring for sheep hasn't changed in years. It has changed now, but that's only in the last 200-300 years. And in parts of the world today, you would find it very similar to how David looked after the sheep. Things haven't changed. I wonder if you remember that there were shepherds many, many years later after David out on the hills above Bethlehem doing exactly the same thing, out in the cold night looking after their sheep. Now, the biggest danger for sheep today is not bears or lions or wild dogs. No, the biggest danger probably is disease and people like me who walk their dogs anywhere near them. I don't let my dogs off the lead behind sheep, I promise. When David was there, there was danger everywhere. That was the reality. We live in a world today where in the West, we push danger away from us. And that's great, I'm not knocking it. But we keep it at arm's length. We have all the laws to keep danger at arm's length. But into this situation of significant danger, the job of the shepherd was to find food, find water, and provide good pasture for the sheep. And it wasn't a part-time job. It wasn't a job where David went out when he felt like it and came home when he felt like it. It was a 24/7 job. Out with the sheep during the day and then looking after them at night, gathering them as far as they could into folds to keep them safe, lighting a fire, guiding the shepherd, guiding the sheep. The shepherds would use those staffs as gently nudging them along. Today, we use sheepdogs to gather up the sheep, don't we? You know, I said they're all scattered when we see them, and I've been traveling around the country a bit today, and there are sheep all over the place. And if the shepherds want them, they gather them in using a sheepdog and whistles, and it's incredibly clever. But that's not how it would have been. The shepherds would lead the sheep. They would call the sheep. And the sheep would follow the shepherd. I love that picture. We don't see that today. It does still happen in some parts. You see, the sheep got to know those shepherds And so they recognized the voice of the shepherd. And actually, the shepherd built such a relationship with the sheep, he would name them. And the shepherd would call them by name. And the shepherd would be alert all the time, looking, where's the good pasture? Where am I going to lead them next? What's the dangers around? Where is it? And the sheep would follow and feed and be safe. This psalm is not for special occasions. This psalm is for the everyday, for the reality of the everyday, for your everydays. And it is the one where David can say, the Lord is my shepherd. David knew what it meant to be a shepherd. And he turned to the Lord and said, the Lord is my shepherd. God is the one whom I choose to follow. The one who leads me. I think we've already prayed a little bit about that decision to be led by God. And somebody prayed beautifully about that, just surrendering. And that's what David's doing here in the everyday life. It's a very personal psalm. But David also looks ahead. And this is where the prophetic comes. Because the psalm is about David and his relationship with Yahweh, with the Lord, with the great shepherd. It is a psalm of trust and dependence on God. But it also reaches forward and it speaks of the good shepherd, of Jesus. This psalm, it just bursts with prophecy, ahead, looking forward to Jesus. Jesus, the good shepherd, saying, I am with you. In John chapter 10, he says a lot about sheep, but Jesus says in John 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. I'm going to say that again because that is just wow. This is the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. This is our shepherd. Jesus saying, I have walked the path before you. I am the shepherd who lays down my life for you. I just want you to hear that this evening. I want you to hear the shepherd who has walked the path before you and who lays down his life for you. This is Jesus' choice. The choice to be the shepherd of the sheep. He chooses to lay down his life for you. Nothing forces him. He chooses to lay down his life for you. That's amazing, isn't it? When we come into this table tonight, we are remembering that good shepherd who says, I choose to lay down my life for you. From the hills around Bethlehem, tonight we are brought to a table in a room above a house somewhere in Jerusalem where the good shepherd is at a meal with his friends. He's come and joined them in a meal which is already speaking to them about God's care for them. It's a meal which celebrates the Israelites' journey with God the Father. God, well, he would have called them Yahweh, the one who has led them out of Egypt. They are celebrating that. And they gather around this table, and Jesus points them to himself. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood given for you. This is the good shepherd. This is not just a memory of David as a shepherd out in the hills or even as the Israelites coming out of Egypt. No, this is a prophetic statement. This is a moment of fulfillment of all that God has promised. Everything meets here. In this meal that we gather around this evening, here we meet the Good Shepherd. Isn't that fantastic? Here we meet the Good Shepherd who knows us by name, who calls us. The Good Shepherd who lays down his life for us. And that's why This psalm talks about the reality of everyday life, because in the reality of life, we can absolutely trust the one who has walked before us. There's no need to worry. Just as David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's an absolute statement. We can know that tonight, tomorrow morning, and all the rest of the time this week. Jesus has walked the path before us. And he's walked the darkest path. Now, David would have known what it was like to be in the darkness out in those hillsides. It was not a pleasant place. Not when it was dark and it was scary. But Jesus has walked the even darkest path. When it talks about the valley of the shadow of death, it's actually talking about the darkest of dark. Jesus has been there. We sang that just now. We literally sung those words about being in that dark place. We talk about the valley of the shadow of death, the deepest darkness, because Jesus has walked through death, and we are not here to celebrate someone who is dead. We are here to remember that Jesus has conquered death and into life. And Jesus did this because he loves us. He chose to do this. It wasn't an easy path. In the garden, just after having celebrated this meal, Jesus falls on his knees before the Father and says, "If there's any other way, if there's any other possibility, but not my will, yours be done." Jesus chooses that because he's your good shepherd. He's my good shepherd. He's our good shepherd who loves us, each and every one of it, every single part of it. Because you see, we are his sheep. We are the sheep of his pastures. David, the shepherd, experiences the Lord his God in the everyday life. And he points to Jesus when he talks about the shepherd. And Jesus points us to the Father and says, "I will take care of you." This psalm takes us to the cross. It takes us through death and into life. And he says, "Come and join me. Come and join in. Let's participate in this. We're not just going to watch this tonight. We're going to actually do this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Will we join in?" He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. This is about trust, absolute dependence, absolute surrender. Thank you for who prayed that. Trust in the one who will look after us in the everyday. I wonder if we could just look at the bread and the wine. Would you mind just taking it? Is that all right? I'm slightly attached to this here. So. Just look at this and know that here is the one who calls us to join in the reality of everyday life. Is God your shepherd? Is the good shepherd the one who leads you today? Really, is God your shepherd? Take time just to think that through. How independent are we really? What do we choose? How do we choose that? In our world today, we do not see lions and tigers and all the rest of them. So sometimes we become independent. How dependent are we on the good shepherd? David's sheep were totally dependent on him keeping them alive. The sheep did not stop and turn around to David and go, "Excuse me, Mr. Shepherd, let's just chat this through. I'm not sure you're absolutely completely reliable. Therefore, I've got a contingency plan just in case things go wrong." Now, do we ever do that with God? Do we have contingency plans sometimes? Well, I do. I have to say that, yeah, okay, we have this conversation, and then actually I just go sweetly on and do things in what I think might be a good idea. This psalm calls us to say, no, complete dependence, total dependence. Every single thing, listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. You see, David knew this. in these words, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, this is probably the most radical statement that you can make. If you say, the Lord is my shepherd, it is really radical because you are saying, I trust God to lead me in those green pastures, in those still waters. This literally means I trust God for every aspect of my life, every single aspect, every circumstance. I trust that God will give me all that I need. He keeps me alive. When it says he restores my soul here, it literally means he keeps me alive. He is the one who protects me. He leads me in the right paths, the ones not of danger. Are we totally, solely dependent on God? Are our eyes on the shepherd as he leads us? Are our ears listening to him calling? Because he's calling your name. Just lean in and listen. I wonder if there's anything we're particularly holding on to tonight. That contingency plan that you may have in your back pocket, or something that is more difficult to give up. I wonder if tonight, as we come around this table, we need to make that choice to say, the Lord is my shepherd, trusting him completely, totally. Are you living? Are we living under God's reign? You see, we're sheep together tonight. We're not, there's no singular word for sheep, is there? We're sheep. We're sheep together tonight. So none of us, we're all the same, obviously, because there's lots of different types of sheep. However, the people you are sitting around you, we're here in it together. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, says David. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Let's trust in Emmanuel. He is with us, says David. God with us. God is with us in this meal tonight. He is with us together tonight. And God's promise is that even in the darkest times, he will lead us. His rod and his staff, they are here to comfort us, even in the darkest of dark. It's our choice to keep listening. Will we do that? Will we keep listening? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the household of the Lord my whole life long. Here it is. Here it is. Here is God who pursues you. When it says goodness and mercy shall follow me, it means that goodness and mercy pursues you. The shepherd loves you so much, he's not going to let you go. He's not going to let you wander off. He will pursue you with his love and his goodness and his mercy. He lays an overflowing table for us. And it's so good. Goodness and mercy flowing richly from this table. So we can trust. You see, I have to say that as sheep, we're not the brightest of creatures, if you've ever noticed that. And actually, there are times when dangers come and sheep just go everywhere. If I ever let my dog run into a field of sheep, they would scatter. But you know what the shepherd does? He draws us back and he holds us in. And he is drawing us to this table tonight. And he says, come and eat and drink and be satisfied. And that's why we do this more than once. Because he says, keep coming back. Keep remembering. Keep knowing that I am the good shepherd and that goodness and mercy is pursuing you all the days of your life. We are here together tonight, together at the table. We are in the house of God. When it talks about I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long, it means that we are together. It is in God's household. We are part of his family. You are sitting next to sheep and you are sitting next to family tonight. That's why it's a privilege to be together tonight. So as we come and we share this meal together, know that God, the Good Shepherd, invites you. Know that he says to you, I will care for you. Just follow. It's all you have to do. Let go of that which you are holding on to and turn your eyes towards me. I will lead you in the safe paths. I know what you need, and I will provide that. The Good Shepherd will lead us even through the darkest of times, because he has been before us. And the Good Shepherd has been through death and into life. And that is where he is leading us. Through death and into life forever. Wow, we have so much to celebrate. So my invitation now is to come and to share this meal together. And my invitation is to say, once we have eaten and drunk together, we will be going from here. So keep this psalm in your heart today. But I wonder, as we eat and drink together tonight, that we share it as family, that as we pass the bread to each other, don't just pass it, but just maybe give it to your brother, your sister beside you. And I love the fact that we hold the glasses and we drink together, because we are one, part of one body in the household of God. So let's do that together. And if there are things that you are holding on to that you really want the Good Shepherd to take, then bring them to God tonight. And we're here as sheep together, as the household, and there'll be people I'm happy to pray with you afterwards. Maybe just pray with your neighbours as you take the bread and the wine. Come on, let's just talk to our Good Shepherd. He's not far off, because he's here with us tonight. Can I pray? Is that okay? Let's pray, shall we? Thank you so much, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our Good Shepherd, that you have led us and are leading us. Thank you that you are here tonight and that you have laid down your life for us. And Lord, thank you that you have passed through death and into life. So, Father, I pray tonight that each one of us here will hear your voice, will know the love of the shepherd, and that we'll know that your goodness and your mercy is pursuing us. We bring to you that which we are holding on to, and we leave them at the feet of you, O God, our good shepherd. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.